Come on, amen, amen, amen. Man, so good, man. I hope that you could just engage in worship this morning and come to this place to realize what it really looks like that God is always faithful. God is always faithful. There is nothing that God can't do, right? There's nothing that God can't do. He is always, forever faithful. And if he wants to move a mountain, he can move a mountain. Man, if God wanted to lift this sickness in a breath, he could lift this sickness in a breath. Man, he is all-powerful, all-knowing God. Man, I love this. Even just John 16, man, 16:33. This is just a staple verse in this season. The Bible says this, "These things I have spoken to you." I love this. This is Jesus saying, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me," I love it, "in Christ there's peace. In this world, you will have tribulation." Look at, he's speaking to a group of people that are his followers. And he's like, listen, in me, there's peace. But in the world, you will experience trouble. Listen, hear this, please. When you came to faith and you came to know Christ as Savior, nowhere does it say that you and I are exempt from trouble. You and I are exempt from trials. You and I are exempt from testing. Man, you and I are not exempt from this thing. But I love what Jesus says here. In me, he says, you'll find peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good courage. I love that, man. Come on, be confident. Be of good courage. Be strong in your spirit. This is what he's talking about. For I have overcome the world. Come on, I love this attention that Jesus is bringing to himself. He says, listen, heads up. Here we go. In me, peace. In the world, the Bible says, you will have tribulation. Okay. But what happens when you come to a place to realize that Jesus himself said, be strong, be bold, be courageous, for in me, I have overcome the world. Man, I love that. I love that. Woo! Look at you just laughing. My wife's laughing at me. Are you laughing at me or with me? She's laughing with me. You might need this. You might need that. Hi. How you doing, babe? I should probably sit down because then I'll start preaching and I'll wander and the cameras can't find me.
Preach, honey. Go ahead.
I'm walking in blindness.
You go ahead. It is.
Stay focused. I don't know if you can see that or not. But
preach, honey.
What's up, beautiful? How are you? You good?
Yes.
Look, I can see it now. Here we go. I just sat down. Amazing. You look great.
Good
morning,
great on Believers screen. Chapel.
What do you think, Renee? What do you think? It's great to be here today.
It's great.
Amen. You look like a teacher. You do. You totally. I looked at you and I thought she's going to teach. She
Is
looks
that
like a
compliment?
Teacher. It's a total compliment.
Okay, good.
I'm sleeping with the teacher. It's amazing, honey.
Oh my!
It's incredible. You're amazing. I just said that. Church. Someone just said church.
It's church, honey. It's church. Come on.
What's up, baby? How are you? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Because I wanna focus, honestly, as we look at this season and we look at where we're at. And I think people just need to stay focused. Right? We need to stay focused. Whether we're in the middle of this thing, who knows how long this thing goes? Who knows how long we're gonna be in this? But when you understand priorities, and we wanna talk about priorities. When you understand priorities and you stay focused on the priorities, your priorities never change according to any season you're in. If they're true biblical priorities, whether you're in the best season or you're in a season of uncertainty and a season of struggle, if it's a true biblical priority, it doesn't matter what season you're in, priorities are priorities. And when you stay focused on priority, man, it's just... There's things that are going on all around you, but when you focus in on priorities and you stay focused, I'm telling you, man, there's just some amazing things that can take place within your spirit when you don't let everything from the outside come in and disrupt your priorities. When you watch this now, when you get out of priority or your priorities get mixed up, then we're in a bad place, right? We're in a bad place.
Right.
Amen. But I just want to start with this. I want to start with this, and I'm going to have you pray. But I want to start with this. We're going to do something, and I hope you're listening, and I hope you're in this community, because this is what we want to do, right? Our theme kind of going into this thing was peace over panic, right? Peace over panic. We have a huge banner outside the church that says peace over panic, right? And what I want to do, this is a crazy thought. I've never done this before, and I'm opening it up to you. Watch this. BC, are you ready? Are you ready? Come on. I want interaction. Someone say, Sean, talk to me. I'm ready. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm waiting for this announcement. Here we go. This is what we're going to do. Starting today, we're going to have a box out by that sign. And it's Peace Over Panic, right in the front lawn, 2000 Constitution Avenue. And we're going to have a box that's going to have some Sharpies in it, some magic markers, right? Some Sharpies in it. And what I want is for you to come by anytime. Come into the parking lot anytime throughout the next week. Come into the parking lot and park and just have you, your family, your kids, wherever you're at. I want you to come and write a verse or write a statement or just write whatever you want to write on that in regards to your faith, in regards to what is getting you through, little notes, something exciting, whatever that looks like. I want you to take that Sharpie, whatever color you choose, bring your own Sharpie, whatever you want to do. And I want that to be something, honestly, man, I want that to be something that we look at down the road to say, this is who we were as followers of Christ, as a church in this season that we've not seen before. And this is what we wrote down, man, together. Man, I would love you to do that. This was just an idea I had this week. And I kind of want to open that up right in front of the church, Peace Over Panic. And man, there'll be Sharpies there. You can bring your own. We'll have some available, whatever that looks like. And just kind of on the front of it, right on the front of it, man, we're Peace Over Panic, right on the front of that, just write something. Have your kids write something, a little note or a verse or just something to say, this is who we were through this season. And we experienced peace. Why? Because Jesus says, in me, you will have peace. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. Come on, be bold. For I have overcome, man, I have conquered. The word overcome means conquered. I have conquered the world. Man, that is an absolute promised statement that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he is, as our king, warrior, savior, man. And I love that. Take some time, find it this week, and just write a little note, man. Come on a Sharpie. What do you think about that idea?
That's a great idea.
Is that a great idea?
I like it.
It was my idea, honey.
It's a good idea.
It was my idea.
I give you credit.
You say I eat too much sugar.
Yes.
I don't even eat sugar.
Oh, no. Not you. It's amazing how much sugar one can eat in a day.
Right? I think sugar is healthy.
10 grams, honey. 10 grams a day. That's what they say.
10 grams of sugar. That's like one
stop eating
piece
sugar.
Of Captain Crunch. It's unbelievable.
Exactly. That's not really food, honey. That's candy.
Come on. Renee is going to pray. And I want to look at who's commenting here, man. So excited. But come on, let us know where you're at, right? I want to know where you're listening from, and I want to know how far we're reaching. Come on, I can do the little heartsies. I'm doing little heartsies right now, honey. And they're totally towards you.
Aw, I'm thank giving you, you hearts,
honey. I'm totally,
thank
look at
you.
Me. I'm totally giving you hearts right now, babe.
All good.
Come on, would you pray, please? Come on, I want to hear it. Let's go.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this new day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you that this day is a gift, Lord, and we just acknowledge you today, Father.
Amen.
We seek first your kingdom and your righteousness,
thank you, Lord.
Lord. We know that we are your ambassadors, Lord God. We live for you. We are your servants, God, and we just want to do your will. We want to speak your word with power, Lord, and we just want...
Yes.
To just rest in the hope, Lord God, that you hold us, this whole world, in your hand, Father God, that you are faithful, Lord God, that you will continue working in us and through us by your Holy Spirit, that we can trust you, Lord God, that your Spirit is alive in us, Lord.
Amen.
Your Spirit is alive in this world, Father God, and your believers. And so we don't fear, Lord God, but we walk by faith and not by sight, Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Somebody is from Liberty, New York. Like, that must be a fun place to live. Freedom everywhere in Liberty, New York. Come on, amen, amen. I love it. Come on, keep it coming. Keep the comments coming. Come on. Here we go, though. We're going to have a conversation. Renee and I talked about this, and we want to have a conversation with you, just like we're around a table with you, about priorities, because I think it's so vitally important that in this season, Renee, that people just... learn not to freak out, right? Not to lose their mindset, and just to let things just simmer and let things come to a place of balance, And through it all, man, we stayed focused on what was important, right? And I want to just kind of go through this for a few weeks as we look at the priorities. And we've really been pretty strong on the last several weeks, obviously keeping focus on Jesus and keeping focus on our faith and keeping that the premier. It's his voice we listen to, right? It's his word that we're diving into. And I want to really make sure that Believers Chapel as a community, we're not losing our marbles. Right, we're not losing our mindset, and we're not walking in this place of fear and anxiety. Right, we're walking in this place to say, no, I'm going to let things come to a balance, and I'm going to walk in a place of staying focused on my priorities. Right, and you and me have talked, and we're just kind of We've talked about Jesus as the priority, and this is what I believe a biblical priority scale is. Right, you've got Jesus first, and then you've got marriage, husband and wife. And then you've got children, parenting, and then you've got finances, and then you've got church. Right. That's the priority, a biblical priority, right? Of course, first Jesus, and then me and you, right? There's spouse, and then there's kids, and then there's money, and then there's church, right? And the top two should be unchanging. Relationship with Jesus and who he is, unchanging, top priority. Your spouse, you should have one spouse generally, unless something takes place in divorce and whatnot. But generally speaking, a spouse should be something that's unchanging till death do us part, right? Kids come and go. They're temporary, right? Teach, train, send. That's the deal. Teach, train, send. If you're 30 living at home, leave. Teach, train, send. That's, you're supposed to not be there. Anyways, and then finances, right? And then money is important. Work is important. Not being lazy is important. Making finances and provision is important, but jobs can come and go, right? You can move to different locations and get different jobs. And then church. Church is vitally important for community. It's important for raise your kids up in a godly place. It's important to have that family and that community. Do not forsake the assembly of yourselves together. Encourage one another as the day draws near. That's church. It's an amazing piece. Those are the top priorities. And what happens when you stay focused in a season that's just, it's crazy? What happens when you stay focused when you have so many different voices saying so many different things? Like, there's so much confusion today. Nobody knows what's going on. Seriously, you listen to one doctor, they say one thing. You listen to another doctor, they say one thing. You listen to one state, they say one thing. You listen to another state, they say one thing. It's chaos. So what do you do when you have all these voices saying all these different things? You focus on your priorities, which are unchanging. And Renee and I are going to talk a little bit about marriage, because I want to look at marriage, and I want to look at what it means to walk in a place of staying focused on your marriage in this season. And then we'll hit the priority list as we go. But I want to do this. I just want to say this, and then Renee's going to share a little bit. But I think this is we've got to take advantage of the season, right? And I want to take advantage of the season in a sense of, what does it mean to reboot? Like, this is a great season to reboot. And I didn't know if you guys knew that. That's like a big, huge, like, computer term. I'm just a computer guy. Got them all over the place. Computers are my thing. Dude, they're like my thing. Like, when you have an issue, what do? You turn it off, and you turn it on, and it, like, fixes the whole world. Isn't that amazing, right? But the reality is, what happens if you walk in a place to say, I'm gonna take advantage of the season we're in, and I'm going to reboot my priorities. Watch this now. Watch this now. Please hear this. Everything automatically has kind of been turned off. And what happens when you look at, okay, what were the glitches? What was wrong before this thing started? Where I automatically get a reboot. And I come to this place to reboot my priorities so that I'm never shaken again. So that I'm not walking in fear again, because I've stayed focused on Jesus. I've stayed focused on my marriage. And if you're single, watch this now. Please hear this. If you're single, you stay focused on Jesus. You stay focused on your finances. You stay focused on your church. And in Jesus, the Bible says, if you're single, you have more time to serve the Lord. You have more time to serve the Lord, because you don't have to give attention to a spouse. You don't have to give attention to children unless you're single with children. They become a priority, right? So please hear this. This is for everyone who's listening. I need you to tune into this thing. I need you to watch this thing because I think this is, watch this. This is an amazing opportunity to say, reboot. Come on, I want you to put that down for me. I want to hear it. Reboot. What's it mean to reboot, right? I love it. Come on, everybody put it in there. Reboot. Reboot. Time to reboot. Recheck the priorities, baby. Put them in order. Come on. What do you think, babe?
Yeah, I think this has been a season of just pause, you know, reboot. And when you reboot, you just have to kind of sit and pause and wait. And I've been blessed in this season. I really feel like, you know, just waiting on the Lord and just being in His presence brings such peace and just filling yourself with God's word. And it's amazing because even with, you know, the news, I'll turn it on for a second and then I just say no. I disagree. I want kingdom answers, you know. I just want to trust in God. And so I don't consume myself with a lot of the news and I don't watch it. I don't have it on. I don't spend time in front of it. I spend a lot more time in front of God's word and just soaking up all the peace I can from just God's holy scripture. And if we look at 1 Timothy 4:10, it says, For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, Amen. Especially believers. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And I just want to point out that we're going to look at our speech, our conduct, our love, our faith, and our purity. And when I think of speech, we're going to speak truth. We're going to speak faith, you know. We're not going to just speak doubt and worry. We are people of faith. We're not going to focus on the things that can get us all worked up and worried. So you just have to change your mind and change your thoughts and change your speech. And let's just, you know, speak to one another in psalms and, you know, speak the word over each other.
I want you to read verse 10 again. This is amazing. And I didn't know you were going here, and I love this. I mean, you read verse 10. Listen, I watch SportsCenter. She reads the Bible. It's unbelievable. She's so spiritual.
I'm like, how do you watch this?
Incredible.
It's the same thing over and over.
I mean, seriously, I'm in SportsCenter going, listen, we are praying. We're praying for the Steelers right now, man. They are in draft mode, and they're picking the Super Bowl team. They're picking the Super Bowl team. Go Steelers. Anyways, spiritual. I'm watching SportsCenter praying for the Steelers, and Renee's super spiritual, right? She just memorizes the verses, right? Look at verse 10. Read verse 10 again. And when we're talking about staying focused, what's the one word that just jumps out at you, babe? Come on.
For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. So we fix our hope. We're fixing our hope on the living God. We're not fixing our hope on this world and the system of this world.
I mean, seriously, but I'm telling you, you can be so concentrated, and I haven't even, honestly, I have not been paying attention to the news. I have not been watching news. It's the same thing every day. And it's just confusing, and I'm like, all right, I'm not doing that, right? So, but what are you, honestly, what have you been fixed on? What have you been fixed on? Have you been fixed on the news and the tragedy and the crazy and the just, or have you truly fixed your hope on Christ? That's a serious question. That's a deep question to know. In times of crisis, where do we go? Where do we go? What are we fixed on? Are we? There's so many people that just sit in front of the TV and watch news, and it just crushes their soul, man. It crushes their spirit. Turn that off and fix your hope on Jesus. Come on, I love this. I love this. All right, talk to me about marriage, baby. Talk to me about marriage. I just want to share this. Come on. Because I'm hoping there's a couple things that are either taking place. Either husbands and wives that are being home, and with your kids, either you're going in an amazing direction And I've heard this report. I love this because I've heard this report from one of our staff members. She said, listen, I'm hearing reports from some of the women that their men are stepping up. Like their husbands are coming to the plate and hitting grand slams, man. Their husbands are coming to the plate and they're realizing it's time for me to reboot. It's time for me to lead my family. It's time for me to pray with my family. It's time for me to open the Bible and lead through devotions. And man, I love that. If that is taking place, come on, men, own your place right now, man, and own your space. Know your place and own your space. Man, reboot as the head of that house, man. You walk in a place going, we're going to pray together. Come on, we're going to get in the word together. We're going to lead strong. That you come to a place to say, I love that report. Or the opposite's taking place, right? Now you're in the house together and things just start falling apart, right? And we're just unfortunately spending too much time together and it's not going in the right direction. It's probably one or the other. And I'm hoping that we come to this place to say it's time to reboot. And it's time to walk in a place to serve one another. Watch this, Galatians 5. I want you to see this. Galatians 5. 13 says this, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, watch this, husbands and wives, apply this to your home. Through love, serve one another. And girl, I mean, like, legit, Renee, you know it. I've been serving you like a servant. Like, I cooked dinner Friday night for you, right? Do you remember?
Yes, he grilled.
I made chicken.
I know.
I did.
That's good.
I mean, it's like the whole dinner. It was amazing, right?
The whole dinner.
Well, I mean.
What else did you do
with
that?
The grill master.
Oh, the grill master. Yes. Yeah.
Serving.
Good job, honey.
I painted the whole house for you.
Yes.
In this time of QT.
Yeah.
I've almost painted the whole house, right? I mean, it's just.
Yes.
Amen. Something like that. But it was.
Good. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work. Amen.
I love it.
No, and it is true because, you know, your family is a team. And I actually bought Sean a mug. It says coach. And
amen.
So he's our coach. Like, so if you want to look at family dynamics, we look to Sean. He's the father of our children. And we look to him and to make decisions. And, you know, a coach of a professional basketball team, he's making the decisions, okay? I'm the assistant coach, but I let the head coach make decisions. But
I almost went to the NBA.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
She can beat me in basketball. Okay. That is the truth.
But
she can beat me in basketball.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And in tennis.
All county, Renee.
And in...
I don't know about that.
I'm just kidding. Okay. He
I wouldn't go too far
no,
there.
No, he has a good backspin.
Come on.
Okay, he has a backspin, so yeah, that's rough. But, you know, we work together as a team. You know, we are for our household. And if you work together as a team, then you have success, right? And so it's just kind of funny because the other morning, Ethan, he kind of had a little mishap with some grape juice. And we have a white couch. And so
had a white couch.
So the grape juice kind of went on the couch. And, you know, so I was actually at the store when it happened. So he called me and he was very concerned and worried. And mom, don't kill me, mom. I'm so sorry, mom. Please forgive me. And I'm like, okay, just get some, you know, peroxide and spray it on there and take the cushion or the cover off the cushion and we'll wash it when we get home. And, you know, Carter was there too. And he's kind of like, wow, mom, if I would have done that, you would have just, you know, chopped my head off.
Ethan's the favorite. It's unbelievable.
And, but
Olivia's
I,
my favorite.
You know, I love my family and I love every child equally, I have to say. You know, I mean, they all have unique qualities.
Amen.
And I love them all. And, but anyway, so we washed the cushions and, or the covers. And they came out. They came out white. They're nice. They look fresh and new. And Ethan was like, wow, you know. And so, you know, you can overcome some, you know, complications, right? Amen. As a team. And so we were together in our living room, and I said, listen, if everybody takes one of these covers and puts it on the cushion, we can get this done a lot quicker. Like, it would take me a whole hour because it takes a lot of strength, and I'm the weaker vessel, and I can't do this alone, and you get really hot, and you start to sweat because you really have to, like, pull them on tight. They're tight. And we work together as a team.
Team.
See? And
I love
it's teamwork. So
serve one another.
Serving. Amen. Yes.
Hey, but I do want to get into this. Come on. If you've got your Bible on your lap, man, and you're home, come on, I want you to turn to Proverbs 12, because I want us to see something in a sense of our priority of husband and wife. And in Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, I want you to know this, because here we're going to kind of dive in just a little bit. And I want you to hear this in regards to staying focused on your marriage. And what it really looks like, what happens if you really take advantage. Listen, you look at the season we're in, and it's either going to own you or you're going to own it. Know that. It's either going to own me or I'm going to own it, the season that we're in right now. And I want you to own this season. Come on, everybody put that down. That's good right there. I just made that up. I want you to own it. I want you to own it, right? So I'm going to own this season. The season will not own me. I'm going to own this season. Come on, put that on a comment and make that known, man. No. This season isn't going to own me. I'm going to own this season. Man, and in this moment, there are some things that I'm going to own. I'm going to own my marriage. I'm going to own my husband. I'm going to own my wife. I'm going to walk in a place to reboot, take advantage of the season we're in, and I'm going to reboot my marriage. And I'm going to come to this place. What does God say about marriage? How can I come to this place to walk in and just have everything be turned off, to reboot and say, we're coming out of this thing better than we came into this thing. We're coming out of this season stronger than we came into this season. We're coming out of this thing on top and not on the bottom. I'm the head and not the tail. We're coming out of this thing more focused on Jesus than we ever have been in our marriage, and knowing what it says about a husband and a wife. In the beginning, Jesus, I love this. You know what? Keep in Proverbs 12. I just want to hit this. Come on. Mark 10, please. Mark 10. Oh, here we go. I've been doing a lot of pre-marriage counseling because we got some weddings coming up. And it gets me so excited to go back into scripture and look at creation. Listen, the first 6 days of creation, we know it, heavens and earth, we get the list. On the final day, he made mankind. Let's make male and female in our image, equal value, equal worth, man, woman, equal worth, equal value, different responsibilities, different roles. That's true. And he said, listen, and the very roots of creation is marriage. And the very roots of creation is husband and wife that God brings together, that there's one. I love this. Come on, watch this. And I'm telling you, man, you know, if you're part of BC for any length of time, you know our heart is to build strong families. Our heart is to walk in such a place that your marriage is unstoppable, that your marriage is unbreakable, that your marriage exemplifies Christ and the church. What an amazing picture. Ephesians 5 says your marriage is bigger than you think it is, because it's a picture of Christ in the church. Isn't it amazing that the Lord could have picked anything as a representative of Christ in the church? And he picked a male and a female in marriage. He picked a male and a female in marriage. And I love this. Please hear this, man. There's no mistake about this. Rooted in creation, God said there is a man and there is a woman. And that defines marriage. That defined marriage. It's not a man and a man. It's not a woman and a woman. The Bible says this in Genesis 2. Listen, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, a helpmate that is suitable for him. And he made a her. Please hear this today, right? I want you to walk into place to understand that rooted right in the depths of creation was marriage. Man, in this season, I want you to go back to a place in the very beginning to understand how important the relationship between a man and a wife is. Hebrews 13:4 says this. I love this. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the bed is to be undefiled. Fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Like, it's a serious thing to God in marriage. And it's amazing that he speaks of the bedroom in marriage, right? And it's amazing that he references the reality that marriage, the institute of marriage that was created in the roots of creation, It's founded in creation as husband and wife. It's amazing, and we're not supposed to mess with it. Come on, I want you to come out of this thing so strong in your home that you stayed so focused in your marriage that you come to a place to be reminded that your wife is a gift. She is precious and she is valuable, right? An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her and she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's Proverbs 31. I want to bounce into that in a minute. But when you come to this place to realize that marriage, the institute of marriage that God put together, not a man idea, not a government idea, it's God's idea. That God says marriage is to be held in honor. And the word honor here, watch this, Hebrews 13, 4. The word honor here, it means something that is so valuable that you can't put a price on it. That means you can't change it. Marriage is to be held in a place of honor or value that's priceless among all. And the marriage bed is to be pure. The marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Man, when you get the basis of what God is saying and just the simplicity of Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is way up here. The bedroom's supposed to be pure. Fornicators, that's sex before marriage, and adulterers, God's going to deal with. So when you know that, you realize, okay, marriage is a very big deal. How are we doing in our marriage in this season? Like if it's that important to God, man, dude, come on, man. You can't just live your own life and forget about your wife and think that's okay, no matter what the condition of your home is like. Because when you know the value of marriage, it's bigger than your issue, man. Come on, a young lady, wife, you can't just come to a place and disrespect your husband just because. When you know the value of marriage, it changes everything. Because I love it in Ephesians 5. Listen, I love it. Paul said this, that marriage is the picture of Christ in the church. I want people to see Renee and I, and we said this in the very beginning when we were dating and even in engagement, we want people to see Christ in the church exemplified through our marriage. I mean, that is a man and a woman together in unity. And I love this, Mark 10 says this. And here the Pharisees come, they're testing Jesus. And one of the things they want to bring up is marriage and divorce. And they ask him, hey, is Moses permitted marriage? And then Jesus says, well, he only permitted marriage because of your hardness of heart. Watch this, because you stiff-armed God. He only permitted so many divorces because you didn't want to hear the truth. Because you didn't want to realize the value and the importance of marriage because you hardened your heart, which means you rejected God and did it your own way. That's what Jesus is saying. Watch this, verse 5. But Jesus said to them, because your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment, but from the beginning of creation, Genesis 1 and 2. Look at what Jesus says. I love how Jesus says, okay, everything in between doesn't really matter. Go back to the original state. Go back to the beginning. Go back to the way it was planned out. Go back to creation. Go back. I love this. Go back to the original state. Listen, I love this. In this season, we can stay focused and you can reboot and go back to the original state of your marriage. What happens when you come to a place to realize in this season, I'm going to know the value of my husband, the value of my wife, the value of the institute of marriage, and we're going to come out of this thing so people can see a picture of Christ in the church because we're going to forget everything that's in the middle. And we're going to go back to our original state. We're going to go back to why we got married. We're going to go back to that place of our original condition. Watch this, what Jesus says. Here's the original state. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but they are one flesh. They are no longer two. That is one of the keys to a solid, incredible relationship is when you know that it's not about you. When you know that it's about sacrifice and you know that it is the other's desire first before your own. That's when you win in marriage, is when you give yourself. That's when you win in marriage, when you come to a place saying it is more about Renee than it is about me. And I will put myself second to Renee's needs and desires. And it is Renee saying I will put myself second to my husband's needs and desires because there's no longer two. But there's one. And what happens in this crisis, honestly, you come to this place to realize in this together. Come on, I want that comment. If you're married in this place, man, I want you to come to understanding that we are in this thing together. One. And I want the God's mathematical equation here. One plus one equals one. There are no longer two. There's a he and a her. When we come together, there's one. Everyone put that down. 1 + 1 = 1. I want to see it. It'll catch up in a minute. 1 + 1 = 1. And you begin to realize no matter what this season looks like, we're going to come out of this thing so much better than we came in this thing because we're going to own the moment. Come on, we're going to own this season. This season is going to own us. 1 + 1 = 1. If we just gain that and we stay focused on that, you will be unstoppable when you come to a place to give to the other. And if you're single, this is for you. You got to get this going in. You got to set the table for the right relationship. You got to set the table for the right marriage to say, I'm going into this marriage not to find the right person, but to become the right person. I'm going in this marriage know that there's sacrifice. I'm going into a marriage knowing that I've got to give of myself. I'm going into this marriage knowing that it's not about me, but it's about us. That's, man, if we can gain that, and you can stay focused on that priority and you don't lose sight of that priority, that marriage, we've talked a lot about Jesus, obviously. He is our center. But man, when you look at what it means to stay focused, you got to stay focused on your priority. Come on, girl, what do you got? What do you got? Amen.
I just want to continue to verse 9 in Mark 10. And it says, what therefore God has joined together,
come on,
let no man separate.
Amen.
And you know, it says that God joins you together, you know, and amen. Man cannot separate what God has joined together. Amen. So
come on.
We work together, and God, and even the covenant that God has made with his people, it's similar, the same kind of covenant that God has created for marriage, and we're in this covenant. So when you're in covenant, whether you are in covenant with Jesus Christ and God as a child of God, you are in covenant with your husband in Amen. Marriage. Now you've taken an oath and a promise, and this is an agreement that you are in covenant and you cannot break this covenant. God has joined you together, and this is something that He says, let no man separate. Once we are joined to God in covenant, no man can separate.
Amen.
And once we are joined in marriage, no man should separate it, you know? And so you want to remember that you've taken an oath. You've made a promise. And let's stand on just the promises that we've made in marriage. And
Amen.
And let's be steadfast and immovable. And let's really work on just being just that light in marriage.
Amen.
This is the mystery that's even in the church, that your marriage is a light to other people. And so another you know, thought is that, you know, my marriage is bigger than me and Sean. You know, Sean has said that before. You know, this is something where I am leaving a legacy. I want my children to watch the example that we are setting in marriage. I want my children to see that we are faithful in marriage.
Amen.
And when you are unfaithful, it not just affects you. You know, a lot of people think it just affects them. They make a decision that I am not in love or I don't want to be in this marriage. But it has a trickle effect, and it affects your children. It affects your family. It affects your friends. It just ripples on and on and on. And when you come into covenant, it is so important to just
Amen.
Stand. You said in sickness and health. In riches and in poor, like you have to stay faithful. I mean, everyone goes through ups and downs, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side. So let's just become a people who are so faithful to one another in our marriages and also with our children and our families and our communities.
Amen. Come on. I love it. K-O-L-B. You got Lori Kolb and the girls online. I love it. Tammy Baker, 1 + 1 = 1. Tell the chief, love him, praying for him. He's got to stay strong, man. Chief Baker, Chris Baker is overseeing so much in regards to our health system right now and just making some major decisions as he works for the county. It's so good, man. Love you guys. And it's so good to see all of these comments coming in and just paying attention, man. Come on, I love this. Come on, Song of Solomon says this, and I love this. And Renee and I actually have this inside our wedding bands. And Song of Solomon 6, verse 3 says, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. I am my beloved's. I belong to her and she belongs to me. I belong to her and she belongs to me. And we have that inscribed in the inside of our rings to always be reminded of our vows. And one of the greatest vows is I am for her. I am always for her. And she is always for me. I love this. Song of Solomon 5, verse 16. Renee quotes this to me just about every day. It's amazing. His mouth is full of sweetness and he is wholly desirable. He is my lover and he is my friend.
Oh, amen.
She quotes that to me every single morning. Like there's the QT shuffle. If you know what I mean, here we go. Amen. That's not for this season. Here we go. Come on. The QT shuffle. That's woo. And then there's the QT 10. That's the weight everyone's gaining. The QT 10, the quarantine 10, and the QT shuffle. But come on, I want to get back to Proverbs 12, where we started. This is amazing, man. I love this. I love the fun of marriage. I love the lightness of marriage. When you're in a good relationship, there's laughter, there's joy, there's just the sense of what it means to really serve one another, encourage one another, and follow the script. Right? Watch this. Please hear this, man. I love this because you have 100% chance. Don't buy into the 50% nonsense. You got 100% chance. Now listen, if you're single, own this. Right? Own this. You've got 100% chance of having an amazing marriage if you do it this way, God's way. 100% chance of success in a relationship when you do it by the manual, the one who created marriage. Listen. If I tried to buy a bicycle, get the bicycle in 100 different pieces, throw away the directions, and put the bicycle together, and it not work? Well, I didn't follow the instructions. It's not the instructions' fault. It's not the creator of the bicycle's fault. But we try to do that, man. How many times do we try to live in marriage, and we've thrown the manual away, and then it doesn't work? Well, no kidding. No kidding. 100% chance of success when you say, God, you are the creator of marriage. And you put this thing together and you've wrote everything down for us that we could have an amazing, successful relationship in marriage between a husband and a wife. How amazing is that if we would just follow the script? And we got time for just a couple more verses. And I want Renee to share just a little bit. But I love this verse. This is a game changer for marriage. And I don't know if I'll get a chance to get into Proverbs 31. But if you want to know the value of a wife, when you look at Proverbs 31, I love it because it's King Lemuel. And King Lemuel took notes from what his mother said. When you read Proverbs 31:1, it is the king's writing from the oracle of his mom. Like this is what his mom said to her son who was a king. And listen, the kings, when you know kings, listen, they're kings. They've got jewels everywhere. They've got rubies. They've got diamonds. They've got pearls. They've got every expensive jewel that you could find on their clothes, on their tables, in their doors. This is what the kingship is built with. He knows wealth. He knows what jewels are. And look at what Proverbs 31:10 says. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth, her value is far above jewels. That's coming from a king who knows how precious jewels are. Man, do you know the value of your wife? Let me give you just a touch here. Please hear this. Gentlemen, when you treat your wife like she is the MVP, when you treat your spouse like she is the most valuable person in your world. Jesus, keeping priorities right. Jesus, Renee. And listen, I don't walk on water by no means, man. I mess up. There's moments I don't treat her like the MVP, but I try. And we have an amazing, truly an amazing relationship. We have fun, we laugh. It's just a great, solid friendship. Solid friendship, an amazing marriage. But what Renee knows, this is true. She knows that she is my MVP. And you know what? You know what she's guaranteed in that? There's no rival. When your wife knows that she never has to rival another woman, a hobby, money, when she knows she is the MVP and she knows there's no equal, there's never a rival, she never has to worry about another woman. She never has to worry about work becoming an addiction. I mean, addicted to money, because that's a rival. No. An excellent wife who can find for her worth, her value is far above jewels. And the heart of her husband trusts in her. Watch this now. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. I want you to get that. This week, look up Proverbs 31, 10, 11, and 12. Verse 12 says, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You would think it might say all the days of his life. No, it's priority to the wife to do him good as long as she lives. Renee is so good at this. She does me good as long as she lives. Not for me. She does him good and not evil all the days of her. It's a priority on her to say, I'm here to serve my man. I'm here to do him good and not evil all the days of my life, being the female, all the days of her life. It's a priority. It's a priority. And then Proverbs 12 says this, and I want Renee to just share a minute after this, but Proverbs 12, verse 4, game changer. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. So we know that she's my MVP, that she is more valuable than jewels. She's more valuable than any person, place, or thing on this planet. There's Jesus, and then there's Renee. Come on, what happens if you reboot? This is what I'm talking about today. I want us to stay focused in this season. Say, it's time for a change. I'm going to own this season. This season's not going to own me. We're going to come out of this thing rebooted. We're going to come out of this thing going back to the beginning. We're going to come out of this thing going, no, honey, you are more valuable than work. Maybe I put money ahead of you. Maybe I put toys ahead of you. Maybe I put hobbies ahead of you. No. You become my MVP in this season. I love Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown, is the celebration. That's what crown means. It means victory or celebration. An excellent wife is the crown or the celebration. I love that. What happens when your wife knows that she is your victory, that you celebrate your wife? But watch this. The second half of that is, she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones. Listen, ladies, please hear this. Wives, please hear this. If you're single, know this. Learn this. Get this. This is one of those instructions, man. This is in the manual. Ladies, if you shame your man, or if you embarrass him, or you think it's funny to talk about him in a shameful way or an embarrassing way, or you tell a stupid story, man, it is like cancer to his bones. You can be sarcastic and you're destroying your man. You can joke about your man and you're destroying your man. If you speak to him and you speak to the man in him, you're going to produce a man. If you speak to him like he's a mouse, he's going to act like a mouse. This is huge. Ladies, you will make or break your man by how you speak to him. If you want Superman, you talk to him like he's Superman. If you want Mighty Mouse, you talk to him like he's Mighty Mouse. I won't be Superman. I want to be that one who Renee makes me feel like I can run through a wall. That's who I want to be. I want to jump over a tall building. I want to race a speeding bullet, man. I want to take the hit from my wife. I want her to make me feel that way. That's how we're designed. That's how God created a man, for his wife to speak in to the man in him to produce a man. Come on, ladies, this is where we're at. Come on, I want the ladies, every wife that's listening. Come on, I'm going to make Superman out of my man. Man, I'm going to speak to him like he's Superman. Death and life and the power of the tongue. Man, your tongue is speaking seed. What is your harvest? If you've spoken down to your man, you've got a mouse and that's on you. You only produce the harvest that you spoke. You want Superman? Change your tongue. Speak to him like he is Superman. And guess what? You will get Superman. Man, we are designed and created to want to honor our ladies. We are designed and created to protect and provide for our ladies. And when you speak to your man like he is Superman, he's going to show up. You, ladies, hear this, please. You have the ability in this season right now at home to bring out the man in your man. What happens at the end of this thing? If you produce seed that produces harvest. That at the end of this thing, your man has become a man because you spoke that into him in this season. Serve one another. Love one another. Encourage one another. Build one another. Men, let your wife know she is your MVP. Ladies, let your man know that he is your provider and your protector. I mean, if you're single, don't miss this, man. Don't tune out of this thing. Come on, get this now so that you go into marriage one day where you're ready, where you're ready. You've seen the instruction manual, you've studied it, and you're ready. Besides Christ, it is the most important decision of your life and who you marry. So be ready for that. Come on. Amen. Girl, what do you got? Come on, baby. Amen. I love you, Renee. Oh, I love you.
Proverbs 31, 25.
Yes.
I'm reading in the Amplified now.
Dignified.
It says, strength and dignity are her clothing,
amen,
and her position is strong and secure. She smiles at the future, knowing that she and her family are prepared. She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instruction. She looks well to how things go in her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed.
Amen.
Her husband also, and he praises her. Amen.
I love it.
I just want to go back to verse 26 or 25 in the beginning. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and her position is strong and secure. And the strength of a nation begins in a family.
Amen.
And we have to be strong and stay in position. Do not lose your position right now because of the surrounding circumstances that we face. We, as wives and husbands, we need to stand strong together with our children. Stay in position and just know that the Lord is fighting for us. It's just so amazing that, you know, there is strength in family. And let's become the people of the kingdom of God. We are ambassadors. We are on a mission from heaven. This is not our home. We know that. We are on a mission. And the mission is to bring others to the knowledge and saving grace of Jesus Christ. So let's stand in position and let your light shine before men. Let your light shine so they can see that God is good and that his mercy endures forever, that he is a faithful God and he will see his people through. And then people will come and they will see that God is just so good and that we are a light to all the world. Amen.
I just sent you a kiss emoji that says QT shuffle, honey. I'm just setting it up, baby. I'm just setting it up. Come on, BC, we love you. And let me just pray for you, please. And then we're going to go in and close into worship. But I want this. Please hear this. Like wherever you're at today in your marriage. And again, we're going to be in a season on what it looks like to stay focused, right? And then your priorities don't change in chaos. Or it wasn't really a priority. Jesus, marriage, children, finances, church. Those should be things that are always consistent and solid in the Christian life. Always. And today's about your marriage. In this season that either it can be difficult or you can come out of this thing going, no, we took advantage of this season. We went back to the beginning. And we're going to follow the script, man. We're going to follow the manual. And husbands, you're called to love your wives as Christ loved the church. All in. It's a tall order. Wives, you're called to respect and honor your husband as you do to the Lord. Walk in a great reverence of your man. And we're called to serve one another. Equal value. Equal worth. But God's given us different roles. And when you follow the roles, man, it works. It's beautiful. It's amazing. It's special. It's real. Man, I just want, as Brennan just begins to sing, man, if you're single, I want this, man. I want this. Honestly, I want you to start crying out for your husband or for your wife. I want you to start saying, God, give me that man. God, help me to be the wife that I need to be one day. Help me to be the husband that I need to be one day for my wife. And you start getting real, and even in this season, say there is a shift that took place in this season where I got very intentional towards my man, or I got very intentional towards my wife. I don't even know her name yet. I don't even know his name yet, but I got very intentional to become the one that he would need, to become the one that she would need. Man, I'm intentional in knowing the manuscript. Man, what do the instructions say to have an amazing marriage? I want to set it up that I have 100% chance to have an amazing relationship with my husband or with my wife. And maybe, just maybe, in this season you start setting the plate and you get on your face, as Brennan begins to sing. I start asking God that in this season, God, help me to own this season. This season's not going to own me. I'm going to own this season. And if you're married, man, dudes, come on, man. I love it. I've got all these people saying, my man is Superman. Lori Cope says, Matt Cope is Superman. I love it. I love it. I love it. Come on. Come on, Ray. You got to text that I am Superman. Here we go. I love it. There's just so many wives bragging on their men. You brag on your man. You brag on your man. I love this. But man, be braggable, right? Come on, give them something to brag about. That's a big deal right there. You give them something to brag about, right? And in this moment, I want men on their face with their wives and with their families. If you are in your living room or wherever you're at, man, you grab your wife. And as Brennan is singing, man, this is time for change. We don't play games here, man. It's time for change. It's time to say, God, I see it in your word. I'm going to treat my wife like she is my MVP, man. She is my victory, man. I'm going to celebrate my wife. I'm going to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And you begin to lead like Jesus led. Come on. Come on. Come on, man. Here we go. In this moment, you get on your face and you say, it's time to own the season we're in, man. This season will not own us, but we will own this season. And we're going to do a reboot. And we're going to get back on track. And we're going to put our priorities in the right direction. And we're going to stay focused on our priorities. And in this reboot, man, we will not be the same. Come on, we will be stronger. We will be better. Our priorities will be in order. And we're going to own this season, where we're going to come out of this thing on top, because we're focusing on what Jesus says. And we're focusing on his word and not what man says, but what Jesus says. In this season, there's going to be a reboot, man. Turn it off and turn it back on. And let this season fix the glitches in your home. Come on. So good. So good. But I want you to pray as Brennan sings. Father, I just thank you for this moment. What a day. I thank you for my wife. High five, baby. High five in Jesus' name. I thank you for my bride. I thank you for my wife. I pray that you would encourage her and strengthen my bride in this season. I thank you for the words, and I thank you for her heart towards this church and the ladies of this church, God. Man, I thank you for her. God, thank you for our team today. Thank you for our worship today. God, I thank you for every person that's here, God, as we just want to bring the most quality that we can do to present your word, God, in this season. Father, I pray for every wife, every husband. That God, it's up to them to take advantage of the reboot and fix anything that's going wrong and go back to the beginning. That the husband says, it's time for me to change. And the wife says, well, it's time for me to change. The husband says, it's time for me to put down me and lift you up. And the wife says, it's time for me to put down me and put you up. And it's time to change the tone in our home. And there'll be a shift. 1 + 1 = 1. We're in this together. No quit. No quit. Jesus, help us to get that. There's no quit. Let it sink deep within our soul. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Come on, so be it. Come on, God bless. We're going.